There are so many things that are going on in my mind. And I had two messages earlier this week. And then yesterday I got the third one, and that is where I am today. And this may sound crazy, okay? How many of you have ever eaten at McDonald's? Can I see your hands? How many of you know what a Big Mac is? Okay. Who can tell me in order the ingredients of a Big Mac? Okay, now wait a minute. Who was that? Hope? Donnie? Nice and loud. Pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, okay? Does that sound weird for an opening? What, Sherry?
I said, I wonder where you're going.
McDonald's. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. If I'd ask you, who would know how to bring me two all-beef patties? I mean, would you know what two all-beef patties are? Well, nobody raised their hand hardly. Who could all bring two all-beef patties? Would you know what we're talking about? Okay. How many of you know what lettuce is? Cheese? Pickles? Onions? Sesame seed bun. How many of you are drooling now? What did I leave out? How many of you could bring special sauce? No, you couldn't. You don't know what's in it. Everything else on that, you know what's in it. But special sauce doesn't have a designation. I want to talk to you about a spiritual special sauce today. Because, see, we become so accustomed to the things of God, we basically think we bring it. But I'm going to tell you, in these days, we're going to need some special sauce. And so I want to help you understand. I'm going to use Susie today as just a little bit, and I'll embarrass her, but that's okay, because she has to forgive me, because she's a Christian. She can't be offended, and so here we are. Yeah, be strong, Susie. Good luck to you. No, she won't mind. Will you, Susie? Right, thank you. Susie speaks quite often at different places. And she had a speaking engagement yesterday with a fairly decent-sized group of ladies at a women's retreat. And she's known, how long have you known about that, Susie? Huh? 6 months? Kind of had the date out there. Yeah. All kinds of things, when you've got something that you're responsible for, all kinds of things can come against you. She texted me Friday night. She said, Gordy, when you don't have something and you're going to speak, what do? Just get up? And start? And I text her back and I said, you have something. It will come. It's in you. Go for it. Something like that. Knowing how that feels, I got up yesterday morning and I texted her and said, just a quick couple sentences of, don't worry about it, you got this, go with joy. Speak with joy. She texts back and said, I've got it. It came in the shower this morning. You know what that is? That's special sauce. I want to tell you, we've been chewing on many times two all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun in spiritual terms. Because the special sauce, we don't know its formulation. All we know is it's not a Big Mac without it. And I want to talk to you today about overcoming. And the truth is, faith is the special sauce. But we're many times not operating in faith. We're operating in reasoning. And I believe that there's something that God wants me to share with us this morning. And every time I get messages like this, believe me, folks, believe me, please. It comes right here first. Because I can do a certain number of things. I can perform a certain number of things. I can make certain things happen. I can bring the lettuce and the pickles and the onions and the two all beef patties, and I can bring sesame seed buns. I can do all that. But I will tell you, it'll never have the performance it's supposed to have unless I'm walking in the special sauce that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn your Bibles. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey for a little while this morning. Revelation chapter 12. These will be familiar passages in some fashion, okay? Parts of it, it might be a little longer passage than some of you read, because we know our favorite verses, okay? But I want to give them application this morning. Revelation chapter 10. I'm sorry, 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, 10 says this, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And then here's the verse we all know. "And they overcame him," who? The accuser of the brethren. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Okay. I want to help us, okay? Because it's easy to throw jargon. It's easy to get, I'm just getting so tired of, it's one of the things that probably gravels me the most on Facebook, is when I see people start talking about scriptural things and they don't have any idea what they're talking about. They throw out pet phrases, but they can't give application simply because it comes to spiritual jargon. Let me ask you something. If you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, we understand what that is, and that's something that we have to realize. God did it for us through Jesus Christ. But what is the word of our testimony? Well, I don't have time to wait on answers, and so here's what I'm going to tell you. How does faith come? And hearing by the word, okay? In practical terms, let me just say this. I believe the word of our testimony is I had to hear him say what was going to happen, and then my testimony is that he did. And you see, when we come into that place where hearing, faith comes by hearing. If we don't think we hear from God, then we don't have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore, it's not just the hearing in our ears, it's the hearing in our hearts that causes us to understand what he said. But so many times, and what I'm seeing more and more in the church, is just this thing of, I know God's good and I know this, but man, my life really is junk right now. And I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through it. I want to bring a jar of special sauce to you and say, slather that on your sandwich and ask a different question. Because it's not up to you to figure out how you're going to get through it. He is the one who takes us through it. In fact, by the time we get done with this message, I'm hoping that we'll understand why we may be in our circumstances. The word of their testimony. What is a testimony? It's simply somebody gives voice to what they saw and what they experienced. That's testimony. You go to court and give testimony, what I saw and what I witnessed. I'm a witness of testimony. If you overcome by the word of your testimony, it means I experienced what I know he designed, and therefore that's the word of my testimony. Turn with me to John chapter 16. And I will tell you this. This stuff boils in me. Please understand it if this seems a little, forceful. Can't help it. Unless the church comes to grips in the day we're in with what God has said and what he has promised, we're just going to, sit in the swamp. John chapter 16. I want to start in verse 31. Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He's had some discourse with them. And they said, now, oh God, oh Jesus, now we believe. Now we see that you are come from God. And so in verse 31, Jesus answers them and said, do you now believe? In other words, we're a little late in the game. I've done all this stuff right in front of you. Oh, so now you're going to say you believe? I thought we was believing a little while ago too. Behold, the hour, yes, is now come. And just see how good this works. Let yourself be a picture of sitting around Jesus as one of his special friends. The day has now come that you'll be scattered. Every man to his own. And you're going to leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You can translate that trouble, affliction, hardship, whatever you want. In this world, this is what you're going to have. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what that's supposed to mean to us? I hope you do, but just in case there's somebody here that doesn't. What's going on in my life today doesn't determine my life. If I get underneath what's going on in my life right now and let that be the mantra of my life, then I really don't have much of a testimony of the word if all I see is the junk of my life. I expect new seasons in God. I expect desert places, but beautiful valleys. I expect that there's going to be dry places, but I expect the showers of God to come and drench me because there's seasons in the ways of God, and he brings beauty out of ashes. He gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's his way. And we can all bemoan circumstances that have come in our life. But let's all sing the song together. Oh, victory in Jesus. Is that why we quit singing it? In this life, so here's what I wrote in front of that passage. Here's your weather forecast. In this life, you're going to have trouble. In this life, you're going to have hardships. In this life, you're going to be misunderstood. In this life, you're going to have plenty of opportunity to be offended. In this life, you're going to have plenty of storms that come and they feel like tornadoes right on your household. You're going to have those. But the good news is, God's the best rebuilder there is. And he can give you the very things that I talked about. Beauty for ashes. What do ashes represent? Something that has been destroyed in fire. And yet here he comes and says, I'll give you more than you had before if you'll just trust me. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And if you think I'm crass about this, please don't get underneath it. See if it's not true. Taste and see if it's true. Because I believe that it's so easy to step aside of faith and get into the operation of reasoning and start talking about all the things that are just hard and bad. My wife was saying, man, what if this election doesn't come through? I guess I'll breathe. I guess we'll figure out how to live. Can you imagine us poor Americans bemoaning an election when there's people all over the world that don't know in a half hour where if they'll have anything to eat today? And we're the ones who can go to which cupboard and look through doors and drawers and go, just can't figure out what I want. Not because we don't have anything, but because we have everything. It's just the way our minds work. But unless I arrest my mind, I'll just have 12 beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickle, and onion on a sesame seed bun, and no special sauce. And that ain't a Big Mac. 1 John chapter 5, first five verses say this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I'm going to clarify that, okay? It doesn't say whosoever saith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It says whoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because if you're going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it's going to change your life. Now you have to acknowledge who he is. He has to be your Savior. He has to be your Lord. And he has to be the one who has opened you up into the spirit kingdom. You don't just pray a nice prayer. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love God, you're going to love Jesus. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That's the whole point of loving him. Listen to this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Is that a question? Is that in parentheses? Is it? No, it's just a statement. It's God's truth through Apostle John. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I want you to think about this. How hard was it for God to perform that work in Jesus, that he would actually, by the Holy Spirit, send Jesus, who was an actual being in heaven, send him down to earth, but he had to plant him in a woman's womb by the Holy Spirit, and that had to wait through the process of time till that child could be born. And you know, God was just sweating to see if that would really work. And then after that, he had to help them understand that this child's going to be hated, so they had to, by dreams and voices, get him out of the country for a while, and then he was allowed to come back when there was a change in government, and then he got to grow up, and then he started going to the temple, and even at 12 years old, and things began to happen, and people were marveling at his teaching, and then at 30 years old, from what we understand, he started to do miracles, had a 3-year ministry, and then they killed him, and he was buried. But we who live here know the rest of the story. And he rose up after 3 days and was seen by the people, and they saw the power of the resurrection. And you're looking at all that and saying, man, if God can do that, then why am I so frustrated? Why is it that I will let this think that God is confounded in my situation? If that's what he can do to make sure his plan gets... I mean, you realize he had to get the devil. He baited the devil so that he would kill Jesus, because he knew that when Jesus' blood was going to be spilled on the earth, his power was broken. You talk about the greatest sting operation ever. And we don't think that God can change our circumstances? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Go back a chapter with me to chapter 4 in 1 John. Verse 1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits, judge the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now this is first generation disciples, right? This isn't 1963, 1854. This is, you know, before 100 BC, I mean AD. And there are already many false prophets gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. You can underline that if you're writing your Bible. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Why is it important that they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ? Because if he's not the Christ, then his death doesn't matter. His life doesn't matter. And if they can talk you out of that, like even certain supposed Christian places do, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus is a God. I'm telling you right now, have nothing to do with them. They're false. It's a cult. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and now already is it in the world. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Those who operate in the spirit of Antichrist. You overcome the evil, the accuser of the brethren, and now you overcome his operatives. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Do we believe that? Hey, way to shout it out. That word overcome, we've read it now in every passage that we've gone so far, and there's more. What's the Greek word for that? It's just spelled just a little bit differently than a pair of running shoes or basketball shoes that you can buy. Nike. It means conquer. It means carry them away as if that you can take them off of the scene. In other words, when you overcome, you are no longer threatened. Overcoming means that I recognize who they are and I recognize their authority. I recognize who I am and I recognize my authority, and they do not intimidate me. Because if we have to keep ourselves, we don't have special sauce. Because every other ingredient, you can come up with it some way. But God's got an ingredient that changes everything. It's the fretting about what I'm going to speak the next morning and continue to believe that God's going to show me something. I can tell you this, and I know Jerry has spoken about it before. I'm sure Pastor Rick has had it happen a number of times. where you even come to church and you have your message and you think that's what you're going to do, and all of a sudden something just comes in and that special sauce begins to churn and something changes on the inside, and you know good and well that that message you had ain't the one you're preaching anymore, because there's something that's been added to the inside of you that has changed everything. And therefore, what it is, it's really a beautiful thing, because you know you didn't come up with it and I didn't reason it into my mind, because I would have preached the message that I've been working on for these days and this would have been great. But no, you wouldn't do that, would you? No, because I want you to know it's special sauce. It's not your contriving. It's not your planning. It's me telling you what they need, even though you didn't even know what it was. That's called special sauce. That's called faith. But you see, we can talk about faith and not have faith. How do I know that? Because James spells that out real well. Faith without the action of faith is dead faith. You know what faith without works is? Information. It's just something I know up here. And you see, part of the reason why the church is where it's at today is because that's how we receive many things from God. We take it as information. And then we decide if that's really something for me. Do I need to hear that? Do I need to adjust to that? Is that something? When people come up here and give a word, I heard. I was talking to Melina right here because she was talking about something. And John got up here and I said, just a minute, I need to hear this. Because what he said was that it's easy to come into places and want God to do something, but are we willing to change? And on the inside of us, it's going to change my mind. It's going to change my heart. It's going to change my perspective. And it's going to be something that I can't make happen in my life. Do I really believe God will transform the things in my life? Do I believe that today is one way and tomorrow could be a complete different way simply because the power of God has come in and changed my circumstances in my mind? And if we don't believe that, then we're, according to Paul, miserable, because we're operating without special sauce. If God is just this big God up there and I believe in him, but I don't think he's going to work for me, I'm basically an agnostic. But I wonder sometimes if we're coming to the place, and especially in this day, in this hour, and in the church world today, where we're just kind of giving up on it. And the reason I say that is because what's happening in the church, we're seeing more division and more splits and more offenses and all this stuff just rampant in the church. And you're going, God, I know that's not you. You're the one declaring we're supposed to be one, and we're the ones declaring we can't be. And what I'm doing is I'm bringing my pickles and my onion and my lettuce and my two all beef patties and sticking a piece of cheese inside and saying it's good. I'm telling you, if we don't take our things that concern us to the throne room of God and apply for special sauce, we'll be eating a dry burger. It will seem like the presence of God is not powerful in my life. It seems like victory eludes me. It feels like I don't hear from him and I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. It doesn't come to me in ways that make me joyful. And I'm telling you, if people can have joy in the middle of a furnace and in the middle of a lion's den, that's what it's written in the Bible for, then that's our practice and that's what we do. In the middle of our hardest trial, we find the joy of the Lord is my strength. While we're there, let's talk about the joy of the Lord. What does the Bible signify as the joy of the Lord? Well, it says something about, now consider him, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set in front of him, he had the joy of the Lord. The joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, but is now sit down at the right hand of God. Why? Because the thing God had designed for him to do is what he did, and that becomes the joy of the Lord. I don't know why I'm walking through this hardship. I don't know why these circumstances come, but what I do know is this: God has me, and he's going to hold me, and he's going to keep me. Otherwise, we got to stop singing most of the songs we sang this morning. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. How come I come into agreement with the darkness sometimes? It's not okay. You know what I need? Come on. Special sauce. What does that mean? That means I got to take the things that I'm complaining about, the things that are concerning me, these things, I got to take them right to the throne room and say, God, would you apply your special sauce to this situation? Because I don't know what to do anymore, but I know the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we say those things flippantly. When do you overcome? What does overcome mean? Overcome means you had to be in a fight sometime. You don't overcome, just go, man, I am overcoming. Overcoming what? My shoes? If I overcome, if I have to have victory, that means I was in a battle for something. I was in a competition of some kind. That's what overcoming means. And they overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb, his opportunity to bring me into a brand new place. And the word of my testimony, I have watched God do it over and over and over again. And I can't believe he does it. But the word of my testimony is he just keeps overcoming in me. But if I get underneath every one of my circumstances, I am going to be a messed up guy. And some of you have walked through much more than I have. But I've also walked through a lot more than some of you. And I will tell you this. The whole point of God's faithfulness is that he honors his word, which becomes faith to us. And every time we just think we can't take another step, he goes, I'm with you. I'm here. I will give you strength. You trust me. You call me. You just let me throw some special sauce on that sandwich you're chewing on and watch what happens. It becomes life on the taste buds. It becomes breath in your spirit. It becomes strength in your body. And suddenly when you didn't think you could have another step, you're striding along and you're going, I don't even know what happened here, but something happened because I'm walking in confidence that I didn't have last night and I didn't have this morning, but something has changed. And what it is he just came and slathered you with special sauce. Why? Stir up faith on the inside of you. If we're constantly talking about our circumstances, our relationships, and the stuff that's all going wrong, I want to tell you, unless you're taking it to the throne room, you're not applying for special sauce. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, I already spoke to that one. I didn't need to read that one. I love these things because it's kind of like, some of these pet scriptures that we operate in. Philippians 4:13. Can I ask you a question? Thank you. I must be scaring you. You guys are some quiet church folks. Please don't go quiet. I can't. What does Philippians 4:13 say? Do we believe that? Then why would I be constantly talking about the things that are concerning me right now? Why wouldn't I be applying for the strength that comes from him so that I can overcome? If I don't have an expectation of overcoming, I won't be looking for it. But when my expectation is that I can't wait to see exactly when he's going to apply the ladle of special sauce to this sandwich I'm chewing on. And what that means is the Holy Spirit of the Almighty comes on the inside of me and begins to settle a new truth to my mind to say, you think this is impossible? Nothing is impossible for me. Do you think it's out of the ability for me to move? I can do exceedingly more than you can ever ask or think. We know all those passages, and yet somehow we just let them slide into oblivion when we're going through the hardship, when it is exact time when those things should be coming up in our spirit man and letting him rehearse them on our mind so that it can be applied against the truth that's coming through reasoning. And so these things meet, and suddenly we realize that there's a truth that is better than and more wholesome for me to walk in than that truth of reasoning that came through the doctor's report or through the text message or the Facebook unfriend or whatever it is. We suddenly find ourselves, you know, broken in some fashion. And yet Jesus wants to come by his Spirit and say, did I not tell you that in this world you're going to have trouble? But what else did I add to that? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Guys, I believe that the church has to come into a better understanding of what it means to walk by faith. It does not mean walk by hope. It means that I absolutely apply the promises of God to my own life so that when the perils come and when the situations arise, that I might look at that and go, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. But right now, what I know I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to apply special sauce to my life so that I can think the things that you want me to think. And I won't respond in ways that aren't wholesome and that will divide people. I don't want to be one of those who will bring hardship. But sometimes anymore, you get concerned that, you know, you're preaching too hard or you're doing this and this and this. And yet the whole idea is, I believe I heard from the Lord. Whether you determine that or not, that's up to you. But I believe I heard from the Lord. And he's saying, church, we're going to have to grow up in Nike. We're going to have to grow up in overcoming, because there's going to be more coming against us all the time. And it's going to be harder to overcome. But when we practice overcoming, he will be faithful to us. Man, he's going to prepare us for dark days. He's not a father who just says, spring that on him. Right. He doesn't do that. He said it in the book of Amos. He said, I will do nothing without first warning my servants, the prophets. That's why we need prophets in our churches. Oh, I don't know about them. Them are some pretty sketchy people. Yeah, well, that's in a long list. If you're going to name that as sketchy, then let's go down some of the other things. Let's go down the uncommitted list and the unbelieving list and the ones, because God certainly said that these churches should have five different ministries in them. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are critical to the well-being of a church. The problem is the church didn't like having those people in the church, so they put them out. And now they've lost the accountability that comes with having all of them together so that they keep each other in check. And that's what's supposed to be happening in the church. You wonder why some of these prophets are crazy? It's because they have no accountability. And they should crave it. But they can't find themselves in a church because the church won't accept them. Don't believe in the Holy Spirit? Good luck with your special sauce. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Jerry, did they fix the clock?
Yes.
Shoot. He told me right before service that they changed the clock, but it stopped. He said, should I change it or not? And I said, nah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you're familiar with this, okay? This is the passage that has Paul's thorn in the flesh. Whatever you think it is, I'm not in it for the struggle of it, okay? The church is breaking off from one another about what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. It's not even hard to figure out what the special sauce in this passage is. In verse 9, he says, after Paul had asked three times to have this thing removed from him, whatever it is, he could have been more specific, but he thought the church would understand. Had no idea that it would divide congregations. And this is Paul saying, and God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, when? In weakness. So then Paul puts his equation together. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And you can call it whatever you want. It's the same word as weakness. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That I will constantly have the brush of God providing special sauce on my life. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now tell me something. Is that what we learn in church? I take pleasure when there's things that come against me. I take pleasure when somebody doesn't understand. I take pleasure when I get a bad report. I take pleasure when I get the flat tire. I take pleasure when the car just breaks down. I take pleasure when I see something happen in my family, when we bury a loved one, when there's things going on. I take pleasure in that. Why? Because what it does is it exposes in me how much I need Him, because I can't do this on my own. And the more that I learn that I can't do it on my own, what I really want is Him to take me through. And if I look for Him in that fashion, I find Him. And He walks me in. I went up to see Peter when he was in Memorial Hospital. Nobody around. My kind of thing. So I just talk. Peter, isn't God good? Man, I don't know if you're coming home, Peter, or if you're going home. I don't know that. But what I know is, laying in that bed, you can't lose. I know your heart, Peter. I know you love Jesus. I know that this might not be what you planned, but thank God that He's got plans that are bigger than us. And then, because the nurse's station was too loud for me, I just went over and closed the door and pulled the curtains. And then I just began to get right up in his ear and say, and He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Why? I don't care what people think. If I'm laying in a bed, all kinds of machines hooked up to me, sedated because I've got a ventilator in my mouth, I don't need somebody to come along and just say, well, Peter, you sure are a good guy. You sure are a nice guy. I just thank you, Peter, that I just think that if it was up to me, you'd jump out of this bed. I just, you know, I'm going, No. I can't save him and I can't keep him, but what I can do is I can tell him the truth, that God will walk with him every step of the way. And today, can you imagine if Peter could give us a report? He would say, hey, get over yourselves. You'll soon be here, and you can't imagine. You won't ever, ever, ever wonder about things again. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never have issues. You'll never have these advertisements up here. I understand why they just fall down all the time. It's because the only thing that's on my mind is how good He is. You realize that's what we're supposed to know now. How good is He? I will tell you this. I don't know the ingredients of His special sauce fully, but I have received jars full of it at various times. I can't say that I'm quite with the Apostle Paul, but I will tell you I'm far from where I used to be. There are things that come along and things that come against and things that you can't figure out. But if I'm just going to go talk to somebody about it, what do I expect them to do? They don't own special sauce. Unless I'm going to go and talk to the one who has the jar, I'm not going to get the food I need nor want. Paul would talk about the good fight of faith. He told his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. What is the fight of faith? Well, I'll tell you what I believe it is. It's establishing faith in my life, the words and promises of God, so that it can develop my testimony. And when I have that testimony from His word, I have now a part of my overcoming. I have developed the word of my testimony. Second Timothy, he says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So I felt like the Spirit of God told me this. I said, what is the fight of faith? Here's some of it. When the promises of God are more real to me than the reasoning of my mind, I'm walking in the fight of faith. When the truth that I know from the Word becomes my action, that's the fight of faith. When real fear is met by the strength that only comes from God, then I know that He's got special sauce working in my life. The only way faith is owned is when it works for me. If I am not giving Him opportunity to work in my life, will I recognize it when He does? But when I'm asking Him to apply special sauce in my time of need, I expect that He's going to meet that at some point. And that's what I believe overcoming is. Got one more section to this, and then I'm going to close it up. 1 John chapter 2 says this. Please hear what I'm saying and read it from the Word of God, not from Gordy. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In this country and in a lot of the church, I believe that we have looked to the world for our special sauce. We become so enamored with all the stuff. And one of the ways that we can tell is when God can hardly find place in our life. Our schedules are set. Our finances are fixed. Our plans are made. And then we find time for Him. When I see this and I see what is happening in our day and even in the church, I want to tell you I believe that unless God intervenes, well, I know this, unless God intervenes, we're going to see drastic things in the coming years. Only the Spirit of God can make a way for you where there seemeth to be no way. We've got people in here suffering with disease. We've got people in here under addiction issues. We've got people in here in relationship issues. Go to Him. Don't go to somebody else. Find confidence where you can find it. But if I've got to tell somebody else all my issues and I haven't said the same thing to him, I'm going to tell you it's going to be hard-pressed to find special sauce. One of the reasons why we feel we have to tell everybody our stuff, I think, is because that's been our practice. Man, God wants to. I mean, I sincerely believe that he's got the jar and the ladle out waiting to say, ask me. Just ask me. Some of you, you're good at it. You know. Why? Probably because you've been through deep trial. God, I didn't know what I was going to do. In fact, I don't even know how I'm here right now. I don't know why this had to happen, but what I know is, if it's not for you, I don't know how I made it. That's all there is. That's all there was. How can you know if you lack special sauce? One, when you reason why you don't have to obey. If we're hearing God tell us something, if we feel it in our hearts, and yet we don't have the unction, the guts, to step in and say, that's what I'm doing because he said so. When you talk to others about situations and not to God, I will tell you, we're not looking for special sauce. We're looking for agreement. I am alarmed today how rampant offense is everywhere. Everywhere. Churches dividing. Families dividing, shouting at each other, marriages broken. Christian friend, none of us are perfect. I don't deserve to have my wife with me. I'm just thankful that she is. But on the other hand, she doesn't deserve to have me either. She's just thankful that I am. You know what, though? I can say that because I know her, who we are. What do you need? What do you need? What is it that's the supreme thing, the top thing? What is it that you would crave? What situation is right in front of you? What is it that your heart longs for? And I wonder, would you just spend the time saying, God, I don't want to tell somebody else, but man, God, I so desire to know what you would do here. I so want to know, God, would you apply your special sauce in my life so I know how to answer the longing that's in my heart? It's not wrong to have desires. It's not wrong to want to see things fixed and cured. It's not wrong at all. But if the only thing I've got is my mind, you're going to feel unfulfilled. Does this make sense to you? I feel very strongly, I want you to stand with me. Denise, would you come? I don't think we're going to sing. I just want to have some. See, church, I'm just going to be really straight, okay? We get so worried about what we look like. Who can receive us with... I mean, we get older. Anybody that gets older likes to look in the mirror as much as you used to. But you come to a place where you're going, guess what? It's all we got. Do what you can. You see, that's how it is in our spiritual life. You know, James talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into the Word of God and just going, God, what do I see? What is it that I'm looking like? What is my spiritual image that you would show me? What is it that I really want to see when I look in the spiritual mirror? God, I want to be an overcomer. I believe if you're here today, you want to be an overcomer. I really believe that. I don't believe somebody's here that's just going, whatever. Now, you wouldn't come if that was you. Don't be condemned whatsoever. But what I am saying is, it is so easy to come to church, hear a message, completely forget what it is, and walk out the door and go on to the next thing when God brings his word to us so that it can be heard, observed, and action taken. So I'm going to give you an action this morning. I believe God has the jar open, the kettle open, and he's got a ladle waiting. And he just says, you need special sauce? Believe for it. And this morning, I'm just going to ask you, you need special sauce? Your act of obedience is walking right up here. And if you don't know, don't come. This is not some because somebody else did or because of what somebody's worried about. Or if your decision is based on anything except your own heart, it's probably not a wise decision. But if you would like God to apply special sauce to some of your concerns or your things you're going through or something, I would invite you to come to this altar. And I'm going to have a general prayer for all of us. That sounds good, Denise. Let's just raise that up a little bit, if you would. We're going to sing.